With respect to different types of stresses, we were working on salinity, and we were working on drought, we are working on heat tolerance. As you know, that climatic disturbance is a major factor now. It is almost an existential threat for the human civilization, and also due to urbanization, nowadays also we have to produce more food from less area. And due to that, it has changed the dynamics of the different types of resources, natural resources, for the rice farming to be successful.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boost your yields with KWS Hybrid Rye featuring Pollen Plus technology. Learn more at kws.com.
Welcome to the Crop Science Podcast Show by Wisenetics. I'm your host, Dr. Leo Bastos, Assistant Professor at the University of Georgia. Today, we welcome our guest, Dr. Prasanta Kumar Subbudi. He's a professor of plant genetics and genomics at the Louisiana State University Agricultural Center. Prasanta, welcome to the Crop Science Podcast Show. It is great to have you here with us today. What are the research areas you're currently working on with rice?
Actually, I have been working on mostly abiotic stress tolerance, particularly salinity, but when I got my first grant in from the USDA, NIFA. So that was actually back-to-back two grants. It was renewed a couple of times. So that's why I'm more familiar with the salinity. But our research got a boost when in 2023, we got the $10 million Sustainability Agriculture System grant from NIFA. That was a consortium of seven institutions from four different states where rice is being grown, like Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And also we have a collaborator from Clemson University. So we are almost like 24 collaborators from 6-7 institutions, including one USDA lab also, Dale Bumper Rice Research Institute, Rice Center at Stuttgart, Arkansas. So in this case, actually, we were very much excited for that because you know that abiotic stress tolerance are not very easy to work with, because most of the commodity funding, they don't fund those type of research because they need quick results. Mostly focusing on all the breeders are focusing on yield parameters, yield or disease resistance. But in this case, in our grant, that was actually very helpful for rice growing regions because we could focus on different types of stresses. With respect to different types of stresses, we were working on salinity and we were working on drought. We are working on heat tolerance. As you know, that climatic disturbance is a major factor now. It is almost an existential threat for the human civilization. And also, due to urbanization, nowadays also, we have to produce more food from less area. And due to that, it has changed the dynamics of the different types of resources, natural resources, for the rice farming to be successful. I mean, land, water, air, like carbon dioxide concentration or global wind speed, precipitation, all this stuff are affected now because of these weather disturbances or climate disturbances. So that is why it's very timely for to work on these areas. And we have been very successful, particularly USA has been very successful in developing and implementing the technology. We have been the leader, and it has boosted the productivity by almost within a century, 400%, with less 10% of land we are using, less than 10% of area now, reduced land. So in this case, Louisiana and other areas of southern rice growing states, heat tolerance and drought tolerance will be the major factor in the future, and it has been already a factor because, as you know, that temperature, global temperature is rising. And as per the IPCC report, that we should maintain 1.5 degrees centigrade within this century, so that it will have less impact on the farming system, and also we'll have a livable planet. Whereas all these policies, what we are going on in different countries, it points to around 2.8 degree centigrade increase by end of this century. So that indicates that it's very urgent now to work on an area where the temperature will be rising. We have to breed climate resilient crops with incorporation of tolerance to heat stresses and also drought stresses, because water level is also a limitation in the future. Because water table is down, it's not only in the U.S., it is level in there, but in most part of the world now, water, fresh water will be an issue, because we are only 3% of water, fresh water in the world. And rice consumes around 30% of the world fresh water resources. And as you know, the rice is a very water-intensive crop, with around 2,500 liters needed for 1 kg of rice only. So that is a big deal, actually. This will be developing rice varieties with the drought and heat tolerance will be a game changer in the future. And salinity is also not only in the U.S., because saltwater intrusion will be an issue because of global warming, because seawater level will increase, and that we should be prepared proactively work on those research areas. And already we have been successful in this. I have actually developed some of the lines which are tolerant to salinity at the seedling stage. But we realized that it's the seedling stage not only important, but also we have to incorporate tolerance to salinity in reproductive stage also, so that we can maintain the productivity in the saline or saline areas. Another stress is like cold tolerance, because that is also another issue in Louisiana and other areas, where we usually plant a little bit late. So when we plant late rice, then we are exposed to, rice crop is exposed to hurricane-like situation. Heavy climate disturbances are more towards the end, damaging our crops. So that's why we incorporate the cold tolerance, then we can plant a little bit early, like early February or something like that. And that is not that that can be done, because there are germplasm where rice is having with cold tolerance traits. One more thing I would like to highlight is that fertilizer use. That is also a big use, big problem, not only in the rice growing areas, but other parts of the country, where nitrogen is applied more than what is needed for the crop. And in particularly in rice, 30% of only is used by the crop, and 60% is lost to the atmosphere, and it leads to pollution by denitrification and all these greenhouse gases, nitrous oxide, nitrous oxide also result in global warming. So these are the areas that we are working on, or my lab or other collaborators in this grant, people are working on this. Specifically, my work is mostly on heat tolerance and drought tolerance. I'm also working on nitrogen usage.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. And it's so interesting to hear from a plant breeding perspective, right? Because so I particularly work a lot with nutrient management, especially nitrogen management in some row crops here in Georgia. And although we're trying to help the system to be more efficient, mostly through management practices, but then from a breeding perspective, you're trying to incorporate some of those traits that would help the crop to be more efficient or tolerant through breeding, right? And bringing that from a different perspective that other than the management side. So it's really interesting. And while you were explaining, I was thinking, you know, you're basically creating this superhero crop that is tolerant to when things are too hot or too cold or too wet or too dry, all these extremes, and compiling that into one crop. I'm sure it's very challenging, but also very rewarding as you can further develop that. All right. So my next question for you here is, so you talked about some of these, especially abiotic stresses, right? If we can think of them in the context of the southern USA regions and growers in those regions, what would be the main stressors? If we could rank these stressors, you know, what has been the major abiotic stress that rice farmers have been seeing? And how do you think that can potentially change in the future, right? So as climate change becomes more severe, how does that importance of abiotic stresses may change as well?
Well, that's a good question, because in Louisiana and other southern regions, even though rice is grown in a very small acreage compared to other countries, whether it is India or China, we produce only 2% only of the total rice production, but we are the fifth largest exporter of rice. So rice is mostly grown for export in these southern regions. So in that case, when you are exporting countries, you need quality rice. The quality of rice should be good so that it can be exported. So in this context, among all the stresses, most important is the heat stress. So that is one important thing, because when there is a heat stress, even 1 degree temperature change or rise in temperature can reduce 10% reduction in rice yield. There are some physiological studies out there. What happens when there is rise in temperature? It doesn't pack these starch granules in the rice grains. So that's why when the rice starch granules are not packed in the rice perfectly, so it develops chalky grains, which reduces the quality of rice. Even the yield also reduces when there is high temperature. So the quality of rice is important. That's why understanding is that heat is the most important thing we should work on. And the second will be drought. Because drought will be important, because the water table, in case of whether it is Arkansas or other areas, water table is declined. And as you know, in Louisiana, there are two aquifers mostly. They are supplying water to almost 41 parishes. And most of them are actually used for even in Baton Rouge, I have seen they are using for industry purpose. So they are wasting basically the aquifer water, which are good quality water. So at the end, the rice, the water will be an issue. That's why people have started using also different types of water conservation practices. That's already farmers are doing on in this grant. Also, we are making sure, and we are actually communicating with the farmers in every meeting we go, that use some water conservation practices like AWD, alternate wetting and drying, or direct seeded rice, where there is a labor requirement is less, and water consumption is less. So that is the drought thing. Even in drought, you see in Baton Rouge campus, we have a central farm some of the wells are already dry. We are not able to grow any plants in case of, we are totally dependent on rainfall. The same is the case with the rice research station. Some of these also, they are getting drier and drier with passage of time. Then third thing will be the salinity. Because as you know, when there was Katrina in 2005, there was salt water intrusion in the coastal areas, coastal parishes where the rice was grown. So those are actually, those are fertile lands, and they were actually became almost unsuitable for rice cultivation. At that time, actually, I got some grants at that time, because that was the issue at that time. That's why the commodity board funded, because nobody is working on salinity. So I was working, that's why they gave some funding too. Because after that, it dry. When that issue is gone, when there is rainfall, it leaches down, then salinity is gone. But there are issues in northern Louisiana also. You'll see that salinity is also increasing in those wells. So it is because drought on salinity is also linked. When there is drought, it is like osmosis, you know. When the inland, there is drought, the water is sucked from the Gulf of Mexico. So that is why water from the Gulf of Mexico, they are coming through to the northern areas, and some of the salt wells are becoming salty now. And in particular, the soybean, I know I got one grant earlier that is also, they are requiring now, they are screening for soybean germplasm, which are going to salt stresses. Similarly, it may be an issue in the future. So that's why we should work on those areas also. So breeding for salt tolerance rice varieties. And as I discussed earlier, the N-use efficient crops, nitrogen use efficiency also needs to be increased in rice. Because that is possible. Because there are no, as you know, you are precision people, you should know that they're using now nitrogen inhibitors and low release ureas, all this. There are some technology they are using to reduce the nitrogen usage. But ultimately, you see, genetics has solution to everything. Because if you have the genes, you identify those genes, you can solve the problem. Whether abiotic stress tolerance or nitrogen use efficiency, water use efficiency, even the host plant resistance or integrated pest management. That is also one in our grant. Also, that is one of the focus. The biologist, particularly entomologist and pathologist, they are working on. And by the way, we are also some precision ag people also in our grant. Those who are working on also the sustainability grant.
Absolutely. I mean, these problems are definitely multifaceted, right? Very complex and requiring people from different parts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, so I want to follow that up with, you know, if we take a step back here and we think of all these challenges, all these abiotic challenges that are not foreseen to improve, right? The challenges, if anything, are just going to get tougher as time goes on. How do you see the future of rice farming? How do you think that our growers, our genetics, our management is going to have to adapt to this ever-increasing, challenging climate that we're going to have?
That is important, because just developing technology is not important, as important as also implementation. Because our farmers, particularly, they are not so much, they cannot accept the new technology very quickly, as I have seen, compared to other areas of the world. So particularly like genome edited crops or GMOs, we cannot work on this thing. Now, even though USDA has now saying that genome edited crops are still not under it is not considered a GMO. So the future of rice farming definitely, because we should admit that climate disturbances or climate related calamities are not going away. It will be there, and rather it will become more intense, and the frequency will increase, as you have seen now. So that is what is threatening the sustainability of rice farming, and also intensification of rice production or any other crop that is leading to the environmental pollution also. More use of fertilizers, more use of chemicals, herbicides, those are making actually the environment of more undesirable for the humans, because it is dangerous to have chemicals in the environment. So water scarcity is also a problem. Salinization will be a problem. Loss of biodiversity will be a problem because of climatic disturbances. And the fertile farmlands also are becoming to farming rice due to variety of abiotic stresses. So it will be challenging to maintain the productivity as well as profitability of the rice farm in the future. Unless otherwise we do something about this. And what we should do? Definitely one thing is that climate resilient varieties. That is what we are working on, that we should have varieties, and then climate smart production practices are also necessary for this. And regarding the implementation, because as you know, the farmers are more interested for high yield, because rice varieties are not bred by the breeders for tolerance to abiotic stresses. They are bred for optimum conditions, production environment, so that it will have high yield only on optimum environment, fertilizers and other water level requirement, all these things at optimum level, then only it will be productive. So rice varieties with tolerance to all these stresses will be a game changer. And I think that the need for multiple stresses is more important than earlier. And as you know, that heat tolerance and drought tolerance are logically to be combined for making rice plants more sustainable in the long term. Because if you want to grow rice in the future or continue the rice cultivation in the future, we have to have these climate resilient varieties as well as the climate smart practices, where you can reduce the water use, particularly AWD, alternate wetting and drying, direct seeded rice, integrated pest management, and then use some precision ag tools for forecasting or timing of application of nitrogen or irrigation using your precision ag technology. So those are all things are needed in the future to be sustainable. And regarding all these are coming under future climate smart practices. And regarding implementation of things, we want to educate the farmers. Because that is what also one component in our grant, that one third of our funding we have devoted for extension. So we are doing it in different types of activities, particularly in the second year of grant. We started a rice production school, so that we invited some of the stakeholders. It may be farmers or some of the consultants. This year it is going on. Actually, it will finish in October. Every month there are 2 days. We are educating them on different aspects of rice cultivation, starting from economics, sustainability issues, entomologist, integrated pest management, weed science, a lot of stuff we are teaching them. So that they can be aware of the importance of this type of technologies, and they can start using them in their production system. And also for future farmers, also we are teaching our some of these outreach activities during every county meeting. All this stuff, all these extension personnel are talking about those sustainability tools what we are available.
Absolutely, that's fantastic. I mean, the future definitely has a lot of challenges, but you know, those complex challenges require a lot of disciplines to come together, and both on the development side, but also on the educational side and transferring that technology to growers, right? So this is, I was really, really, really glad to hear that you guys are working on that and developing some tools in that sense.
Now, developing actually climate resilient varieties, I want to point out that it's not an easy thing, because the rice varieties, what we are growing here, they are mostly narrow genetic base of them. You can trace actually all these varieties grown in the US to only 25 to 28 varieties. And none of them is having tolerance to all types of the stresses, whether it's biotic stress or abiotic stress. So that's why we have to have germplasm which are carrying those type of genes for abiotic stress tolerance or abiotic stress tolerance. And in my program, I imported a lot of germplasm, because most of these abiotic stress tolerance, I got it from International Rice Research Institute, Gene Bank. I procured them, and I am making crosses with our US cultivars. And there are issues also. When you make crosses, because most of the plants, rice varieties, what we are growing here, they belong to Japonica group. If your audience is not familiar with these technologies, the different types of rice is divided into two, three types, because Indica types mostly grown in South Asia, and the Japonica types, what we are growing here, is mostly temperate Japonicas, tropical Japonica, temperate Japonicas, and Basmati also, they are coming under another aromatic groups. So when you make crosses, they become sterile. The hybrids are sterile. So that is a very challenging situation, because it took me for almost 5-7 years to transfer those segments, chromosome segments, from the indica to our rice varieties, which are grown in in Louisiana. Because I have to research to different types of, because of my breeding background, so I knew the techniques, reversing crosses, all this stuff. Then I could get some of the fertile progenies, making back crossing, several back crossing, and then restoring the genome, or restoring the background of the Louisiana types. So that is a big challenge. But ultimately, we have developed a lot of lines and populations which we can evaluate for different types of biotic stress tolerance.
Absolutely, that's fantastic. Well, thanks for explaining that as well. I'm sure that our audience, you know, if those are were not aware of these types of rice, can understand a little bit of the complexity of doing this, these different crosses. All right, so that basically wraps up our episode today. Presenta, thank you so much for being our guest. I really enjoyed learning more about rice production systems, all the challenges that we have ahead, and some of the solutions that you and your team are looking and developing to help growers in the future. I really enjoyed today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.